today we are going to start a series of lessons on the topic of church growth.
Every day.
Now I want you to look at our bulletin. If you don't have one, raise your hand. Maybe we got another one. Christina's upset about that. I think we got enough for at least one for family, so... Anthony Franklin has written a great article on the front page here about our car wash last week. Got some pictures in there. Of course, the teens and the campus really did a phenomenal job with the car wash. Raised over $850 for our missions contribution. And then, of course, the Young Teen Cafe was able to contribute over $100. And then Seth and Mark alone in their Bible talk did a walk-a-thon and raised over $450. So, you see our thermometer there just completely exploded at the top. And we far exceeded our goal all the way to over $28,000.
Amen.
That's awesome. Why did we do that? Why do we have missions contribution? Why do we sacrifice so much? Because it takes money in our day and age to build a church to the glory of God.
Amen.
That's why we did it. If you look on the inside cover, at page 3, we have a very exciting announcement to make.
Amen. Come on.
Jesus is Lord. Amen?
Amen.
A weekend of historic inspiration and revival. In just 1 month, our brother Kip McKean will be coming and preaching for us a couple of times. Now, if you read about Kip down at the bottom there, Kip is a brother that has always been known for his vision to evangelize not just a city, not just a state, but Jesus' dream to evangelize the world. There are far too few men and women that even ever consider that's even in the realm of possibility. But yet it's what Jesus called us to do. So, Saturday night, right downtown, we're going to have a lesson called The History of World Evangelism in Our Generation. Does that sound like a hot title or what? We're going to talk about, in our generation, as we have lived, what work has been done, what advancement has been made to actually evangelize the world. That's going to be a hot topic. Think of Sunday, he'll be right here with us, and our theme for the weekend is Jesus is Lord. We were at UIC just a couple days ago, Joel and I, and Henry, actually a few people, we're in a few studies, I'm trying to keep them straight. But one fellow came along, and as he sat down to study the Bible, he asked a very good question, I thought. He said, what's this group here all about?
Come on.
What's the mission of this group?
Come on.
And Joel immediately jumped in, bold brother that he is, and he said, you mean the Bible talk here? Well, our mission is to get students into the Word, to read the Bible, you know, to learn about the Bible. Now that's true, isn't it? Well, I felt compelled to add a little something. So I said, are you talking about the Bible talk or are you talking about our church? He said, yeah, the church. What's the mission of church? I looked right in his eyes and I said, to evangelize the world.
Amen. Come on, bro. Come on.
People don't know what to do with that. Right?
That's true.
I mean, it could, okay, my wife thinks that sounds arrogant. Could sound arrogant, right? Right? Or it could just sound like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
Is that possible? Are you arrogantly crazy or insanely arrogant? I mean, you know, what is it? But he looked right back at me and said, that's a pretty good mission. Why is that our mission? Look in Acts chapter 1.
Come on, bro.
Verse 3. after his suffering, and I thought Roger did an incredible job leading us to the cross. He, meaning Jesus, showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was still alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. That's a long time. 40 days. That's a month and then a third of another month.
Wow.
Jesus appeared to them after his crucifixion, after his burial, and after his resurrection. Is that hot?
Yeah.
He appeared to them. And look at this. And he spoke about the kingdom of God.
Yep.
How about that? Joel and I did another study with another student at UIC this week about the kingdom of God. You know, I don't know about you, I grew up going to church all my life. Until I did this study, about an hour study on the kingdom of God, I couldn't have articulated anything about the kingdom. People don't know. That's what we talked about last week. People don't know who Jesus is.
Yeah, that's right.
They don't know what the kingdom of God is.
Come on, they don't.
When I told this gentleman our goal is to evangelize the world and tell the world about Jesus, you know what he said? He said, "Well, don't you think the world knows about who Jesus is?"
No.
That's what he said. And I said to him, "No, I don't. I don't think they know." And we'll talk more about that today.
Yeah,
but Jesus on his mind was the kingdom.
Yep.
That's what he talked about.
Yep.
Even for a month and a third of another month after he rose from the dead, but before he ascended.
Wow.
Reading on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now that's pretty hot.
Yep, yeah.
He said,
"Come on.
The city we're in right now, don't go anywhere. Don't leave it yet. Because you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be powerful." So, when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father is set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." That's what he just told them about, right? You're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now he says, when that happens, you're going to receive some power. What do you do with that power? Read on. "And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem." That's the city they were in. Right?
Yep. Right.
"In some of Judea." Oh, I'm sorry, sorry. That said all. Sorry about that. "And Samaria, and to the ends of the earth."
Come on.
Why do I say our mission is to evangelize the world? That's what Jesus told them to do.
Come on. That's
because
it, bro. Come on.
Everybody in every city in the world deserves the right to know about Jesus.
Yeah.
And to know about his kingdom.
Come on.
And not just hearsay. Not just like a little tidbit of knowledge, but they don't really understand. That won't get them there. So, Jesus says, "You're going to be my witnesses to the entire world." Well, let's just see what happened. Acts chapter 2.
Come on, bro. Keep coming. Come on, Chris.
From time to time, I think it's important just to do a little stroll through the book of Acts. And see how did the church grow.
Come on.
Acts chapter 2, verse 41. "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 300 were added to their number that day."
No.
Oh, I'm sorry, I messed up again. My eyes are getting bad.
Nice. You know,
3,000! Guys, do you believe that?
Yeah.
This is not just a story. This is a historical account of the very first century church.
Wow. Yeah.
This is what happened. It's like reading a church bulletin. As you follow what happened in church bulletin with Greek. This is the church bulletin for the first century. 3,000 that day, verse 47. "Praising God, joined the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved." Chapter 4, verse 4.
Come on, Chris.
Maybe you just want to write a pen and mark each scripture you can go to. That way you can show other people this. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000.
Wow.
How'd you like to have men's night out Wednesday night? Have 5,000 men.
Amen. Come on.
Guys, there are millions of men in this city. You telling me 5,000 can't worship God?
Come on.
5,000 it grew to, but it didn't just do that accidentally. There was proclaiming the message, and there was accepting the message going on.
Amen.
Chapter 5, verse 14. Nevertheless, more and more men and women, amen,
amen.
Wasn't just men, but men and women,
amen. Glory.
Look at this, believed in the Lord and were added to their number. See, that's why you get added, because you believe.
Right.
Chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing. Verse 7. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And a large number of priests became obedient to the faith.
Wow.
We're not talking about Catholic priests. We're talking about Jewish priests became obedient to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do you have faith, brothers and sisters?
Come on.
Chapter 8, verse 4. This is right after Stephen was murdered because of his faith. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went.
Amen.
Chapter 9, verse 31. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, see how it's growing, enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. That's where the power comes from. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. When the church stops living in the fear of the Lord, it stops growing in numbers.
Wow.
Are you with me?
Come on, bro.
Chapter 11, verse 21. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people, believed and turned to the Lord. Chapter 11, verse 24. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Of course, we're talking about Jay Shelbrack. Amen. No, just kidding. And a great number of people were what? Brought to the Lord. See, they don't just appear. You got to bring them.
Amen, bro. Come on.
Chapter 12, verse 24. But the word of God continued to increase and spread.
Amen.
Chapter 13, verse 49. From the first century church bulletin, it says, the word of the Lord spread through the whole region.
Come on.
Chapter 14, verse 1. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. Amen? They had a pattern that they lived by where they went and preached the word.
Yep.
There, they spoke so effectively that a great, not a small, number of Jews and Gentiles believed. It's the only way people will ever believe is if they're spoken to.
Yep. Yeah.
And I don't know about you, my prayer is, God, please help me speak effectively.
Right.
Help me learn to speak effectively. Chapter 14, verse 21. They preached the good news in that city, and look at this, won a large number of disciples. What does this remind you of? They went fishing.
Yep. Amen.
Jesus said, go fish for men. When we go fishing and you catch a lot of fish, we say, hey, who went fishing in that lake? And we caught a lot of fish.
Yep.
We went preaching in that city and we won a lot of people.
Amen.
One of my favorite quotes over the years, I heard a preacher say, your city is as open as your mouth is. I love that quote.
Yep.
People are open.
Right.
People will respond to God, but only as much as we will call them to respond to God. Yep. Chapter 16, verse 5.
Come on, Chris.
So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew what?
In numbers.
Daily in numbers. This is so cool. This is a great point in the bulletin here. Because early on, the church in Jerusalem grew daily in numbers.
Right?
But now, we're at a point, just a little while later, where all the churches they planted are also growing daily in number. That's pretty awesome. chapter 17, verse 6.
Okay.
Here's where we'll end our stroll through the book of Acts. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here. And Jason has welcomed them into his house."
Well.
Of course, the RSV, the Revised Standard Version, says, "These men who have turned the world upside down."
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yep.
These guys Jesus told to go to all the world, they did.
Right.
And wherever they went, they were troublemakers. Because the world just wants to live as the world wants to live. We're all good. It's okay. When you preach Jesus, it's not okay. People get a little ticked off and a little angry, and they wanted to drag them out. So they went to Jason's house, and they dragged him out. You know, when you look at history of churches, I don't know how much you've looked at other churches, studied other churches, but one of the churches that's received the most persecution that I've ever seen in my lifetime is, well, us.
Nice. All right.
The Bible says, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you."
Amen.
And the Bible says, "Rejoice when people talk all kinds of evil about you." Jesus said, "If they persecute me, they'll persecute you also." We don't want to cause trouble for trouble's sake. And all of us do enough of that. Amen. Husbands and wives. Roomies. Teenagers. See, but we're talking about when you preach the word, you're going to cause trouble for righteousness' sake. Some people are going to love it. They're going to go, "This is right. How come this isn't the way everybody treats each other?" Oh, because everybody doesn't obey. Amen. I'll obey. Others are going to be ticked off. You think you're right? Well, if you're right, then I'm wrong. And I can't be wrong. And they want to knock you down. Well, I told you earlier we're bringing Kip McKean to town. I don't know too many more persecuted brothers in my life. And because he lays out the Word of God. And you know what? I look at this scripture and I think of that. Jason said, "These guys are coming to town. I want them to stay at my house."
Yeah.
"These guys that have caused trouble, I want them to stay with me."
Right.
What would your attitude be if the apostles were coming to town?
Come on. Yeah.
Would you want them with you? "Oh, baby, I'll give them my best. I will sleep on the floor. Whatever I got to do." That's what was going on. There was great persecution.
Come on. That's right.
But they said, "Hey, it doesn't matter. These men are my heroes."
Right.
The world was evangelized in the first century.
Yes, it was.
It says all over the world they've caused trouble. I believe, and we believe, the question is, do you believe that it can be evangelized in the 21st century?
Come on. Wow. Come on, man.
And if we don't, I say we need a rebuking and butt-kicking right now.
Amen.
Because what person in what country do we deserve to give up on right now?
Wow, come
Preach
on.
It. Preach it.
Evangelism is such a dirty word to people. You know why? It means they got to get out of their comfort zone and talk to a stranger about something other than what they want to know.
That's right. Wow. Come on, bro.
So many times, I'll be honest, you better be. We're cowards. We're fearful. We're people pleasers. We're afraid of what our neighbors think. We got to get back to understanding why they spoke.
Come on.
Because they believed people were dying.
Right.
And they believed this life message had to get out. And people argue today, well, it doesn't have to be done in one generation. Doesn't have to be done. And that destroys our urgency to get it done.
Because
you know what? I don't really want to argue. I just want someone to get to my grandma before she dies.
Come on, bro.
How about your grandma?
Yep. Come on.
How about somebody else's?
Come on, bro.
We don't have another generation for them, do we? Question is, do we believe it? Why? Let me ask you. Why do you think we don't see the kind of growth they did in the first century? Just a question to ponder. Why in so many churches are there so few youth that are fired up about God? I present because there's so few parents fired up about
there
God.
There you go. Ooh, come on, bro. Talk about it.
And if the youth are there, so often they're in the back row and disinterested.
Preacher.
And hey, you can sit in the most fired up church ever and be disinterested, and one day hopefully you'll decide to see God. But if there's nothing fireful there, there's no reason to be interested.
Wow.
I put before you, so few of us grew up. I didn't grow up going to a church where people were on fire for God. I didn't. So few do. We've lost the fire. And when you lose that fear of the Lord, you lose a commitment to Jesus' plan, Jesus' way of discipleship. The fire goes out.
Yep.
And then why would the youth stay? Why would the adults stay? We start getting interested in other things.
Come on.
Why do we lose so many people to the world? Why do so few want to go into full-time ministry? I never grew up wanting to be a full-time minister.
Come on.
That was not cool. Okay? That was not cool.
Yeah.
But in this little church right here, we have several young men that I think are pretty cool. Handsome young bucks.
Thanks, bro. Thank you. Appreciate it.
And a few deluded old ones.
Oh.
And even the old ones want to go in the ministry.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Whoa.
That's not because of anything that we're better in.
Nope.
We're just committed to God's plan.
Yeah. Come on.
Total commitment.
Come on, bro.
Yep. Amen.
Why don't we see it? I believe the point is there's so little faith.
Wow. That's right.
It's what Jesus said. So few have faith. Will we really believe? And that brings us to action. Here's a question. Do you really want to see the kind of growth they did in the first century? Do we? I asked this with the teachers earlier. Someone said, well, that's tough because when you have more people, you have more problems.
Well,
isn't that true?
That's
exactly true. You also, when you have more people, you become less important. How many of you ever gone to a church like I have, where church is a place to go and be recognized? It's a place to go and receive your social status. Hello, brother so-and-so. Well, hello, brother so-and-so. Have you seen sister so-and-so? Oh, I saw sister so-and-so. Have you seen sister so-and-so? It's a social place. Like the Kiwanis Club or the Lions Club or the Optimist. We go, the bigger it gets, the less you get your social status. You're just Brother X. Or Brother Triple Y. You know? The seats get further back.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We got to be committed to become less. Play any role we need to play.
Amen.
So that more people can have the chance we've been given.
Wow. Come on.
You know, I was in a study with another fellow at USC this week. Joel and I and Henry, and we were talking about this. If everyone at UIC who claims to be a Christian were a Christian, you wouldn't be able to walk from the front door to the place where you sit down and have coffee without someone coming up and inviting you to study the Bible.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. That's true.
If everybody that claims to be Christian in Chicago were Christians, you wouldn't be able to get to work in your normal commute. Because you'd break into a spontaneous church on the subway.
There you go.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
When you run into another disciple, what happens? Spontaneous church. Sometimes you even sing. Open your songbooks. You know what?
Come on.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Why is it that way? Because church has become just a tradition, just another club. A place we go on Sunday morning. Assembly religion. It's one of my biggest pet peeves. Where people come, sit, listen, and leave.
Yep.
And nothing
wow.
changes.
Wow.
There are churches that have sat in the belly of this city for over 100 years and never changed anything.
Wow.
That is not why we moved here and sacrificed all.
That's right.
And this man absolutely agreed that was true. Henry, who was sitting right there in the study, I'm so proud of Henry.
Come on, Henry.
You know, when we study the Bible with Henry. I remember just back in January sitting with Henry in a Starbucks. And we're studying the Bible with him and we'd ask him a question and here was his response.
That's true.
Some of you have seen it. He couldn't even answer a question in a study with four people. That night we went out to Starbucks, and I remember seeing a girl walking up and just inviting her to come to church. And he said to me, "Did you just talk to a stranger?
Wow.
And invite them to come to church?"
That's
he was blown away. He'd been going to church all his life. Never seen this happen. Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
Why doesn't it happen? Many people don't believe what they say they believe.
Right.
You don't. When you believe it, you say it.
Right.
You can't help but speak about it. You repent of your fear and your cowardice. And you say it. And you give God a chance to work.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians chapter 1.
Come on, Chris. Come on, bro. This is awesome.
In the book of Acts, we ended off there with those men turning the world upside down. Guess where that was? That was Thessalonica. So now, we're going to go to the bulletin from the church in Thessalonica. Amen?
Amen.
First Thessalonians. You know, the good news about Henry is, he's totally changed.
Amen.
You know, when we were sitting there in the middle of the study with this gentleman, Henry leaned over to me and said, "I'm going to go invite that table to come to church." Now, we were trying to finish up the study right there, and I'm like, "Oh, okay, we really got to finish. He's got to get to class." Henry gets up, walks behind me, and invites this whole table of guys to come out.
Wow.
And I hear him laughing at him.
Wow.
He didn't care.
Amen.
He sat back down, he said, "Yeah." I'm so proud of this guy. You know, then I drove him over to work to get his paycheck, and I'm on the phone, I'm talking to Jay. We're in a deep discussion. And, I won't tell him about that, don't worry. Then, Henry comes out like a young kid. He's like, pull down the window. I'm like, "Okay, Jay, I'll call you." What? And he brings a woman who's the manager from the Starbucks in the Dominick's where he works. And he says, This is my pastor. And he introduces me. Then he walks off, and let me tell you, she didn't have enough good things to say.
Come on now.
About Henry.
Come on, Henry.
She said, "I'm at the Starbucks by the front door. I watch him tell people all day long about church."
Come on.
This is a guy that couldn't speak. He was so insecure. He'd been beaten down all his life, even going to church for 7 years and didn't have one friend.
Yep.
Now she said, he beams and he shines. And she said, and they talk about him behind his back. But I told my husband the other day, we need to go to Henry's church. I said, "Where do you live?" They said, like 110 in Vernon. I went, "Whoa, that's far." She says, "I don't care. If it's church, I'll go where I need to go."
Come on, baby.
Welcome to the city. That's a big city. My wife, when she went to plant the church in New York City in 1983, she traveled 3 hours a day on the train just to get to her college and back home. Welcome to the city. That fired me up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. Here it says, "We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers." Is that the way we're praying about each other's guys? And we'll be praying for Nick's cousin. "We continually remember before our God, and Father," look at this, "your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He's chosen you." How'd they know? "Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake." See that, guys? There was a way they lived. Look at this. "You became imitators of it and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcome the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." See, even though it's tough, the Spirit gives you power to be joyful in suffering.
Amen.
And so, look at this. "You became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere."
Amen.
Is that us?
Come on.
Is that you?
Wow.
Because this was the first century church.
Come on.
And what's so cool is you can tell when someone's really chosen by God.
Yep. Right.
Same way then, you can tell it today. Because it's not just words. A lot of people talk the talk. But you know they're really of God when they walk the walk.
Right.
He says, it wasn't just words. You have deep conviction about how you live your life, and there's a power to how you live your life. And look, it's really cool. It says, you imitated. You became imitators. We lived a certain way among you. You saw it. You saw the fruit of it. And you imitated it. And now, because you imitated it, there's fruit in your life. And now you're a model for others to imitate.
Come on.
That's how the world gets won.
Yep.
A disciple who makes a disciple who makes a disciple.
Right.
A man or a woman plants a seed in another man or a woman, and it grows, and that person is won. A church plants a church in the belly of another city, and it grows, and that city is won.
Yep, that's right.
That's the historical record. It won't happen the way people do church today.
Right.
It won't work. Assembly religion won't do it. We got to do it the way Jesus did it. And so, you see right here in this passage, three key ingredients that must be there for us to achieve our ultimate purpose that Jesus gave us. What are they?
Come on, bro.
Work, labor, and endurance. That's why don't we see the kind of growth they saw in the first century? We don't work like they did in the first century.
Wow.
We don't preach wherever we go. Tell me we do. Somebody tell me I'm wrong. We don't. We get choked out by life's worries, pleasures, our job, our family even. Good things.
Yep.
Keep us from preaching wherever we go.
Huh.
But see, I believe with all my heart, we won't do the work we need to do until we have the faith we need to have.
That's right.
So the title of today's lesson is...
Get us started, bro.
What's wrong? What's wrong?
That's the introduction, bro.
Yeah, that was
it. Work produced by faith.
Amen.
Point number one. Open your Bible to Exodus 18.
Alright, let's start the sermon. Come on, bro.
I figured you guys need to get warmed up.
Come on, give it to us, bro.
Point number one is faith in God.
Amen.
Faith in God. If we're going to build a church the way God wants us to build it, we've got to have faith in God that God's way is going to work. Guys, if we don't have work, if we don't have labor, and if we don't have endurance, let me promise you what will happen. We won't win our city, we won't win our neighborhoods, we won't win the world.
Right.
If any of those are missing, if they're missing in your life, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to admit it, I want you to repent of it, and we need to change our lives. But I believe with all my heart, the church won't do the work of the church until we have the faith that we need to have.
Amen.
Well, in Exodus chapter 18, verse 7. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other and they went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake and about the hardships they had met along the way and how the Lord had saved them. Now, couldn't you do that this first 10 months of the work here in Chicago? And could we do that? We can sit people down and tell them, here's what God has done in the first 10 months.
That's right.
It has truly been a work produced by faith.
Amen.
It has taken a lot of faith to come on out here. And there have been many hardships along the way.
Right.
But guys, has God rescued us from everyone?
Amen.
And I believe He'll continue to.
Amen.
That's the faith in God.
Right.
That will help us do what we need to do. You know, I think about our journey here. How about the church in Syracuse alone?
Hmm.
The church in Syracuse was a little church. of around 100. And guess what we were told? You can't go to Chicago. It won't work. You can't do it. How could you take the brooms, the parlors, the bouillets, all the young people, how could you take all them? We'll die here in Syracuse.
Not true. Come on, Syracuse.
That's what we're told. Don't do it. What? The Syracuse Church is going to provide finances for a year to support the start of the Church of Chicago? You can't do it. It'll never work. The Syracuse Church will die.
Come on.
That's what we're told.
Yep.
It can't be done. No faith. No faith in God. Well, guess what? It is being done.
That's right.
Yeah.
Last Sunday alone, three people were baptized in the little church in Syracuse.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
They've added. Amen. 24 have been added just since we've been gone.
Wow. Come on. That's hot.
And they did finance us for our first year of the work here.
Amen.
People say it can't be done. I say it is being done.
Amen.
Here, God has worked so powerfully amongst all the hardships, all the challenges. 26 souls have been added to the church here in Chicago.
Amen.
So,
Come on.
When you combine that with Syracuse, that's 50 souls
yep.
in the last 10 months of the work.
Yep.
Man, I say God has done great things.
Yeah.
Where's our faith in God?
Come on.
That's where our faith has to be. Why did people say, no, don't go? Lack of faith.
That's right.
But we came on what little faith we had.
Come on,
bro. You did.
Yep.
So many of you sacrificed so much. It took great faith to come. Pensions given up.
Yep.
Jobs given up. Houses sold. Some that still haven't sold.
Come on.
But you're still here.
Yes, come on.
I say that's a faith that'll become known everywhere.
That's, right.
That's a work produced by faith.
Amen.
And so guys, as it continues to get harder, as it will, and that's a promise, we gotta remember our God. We've gotta go to God for the strength we need. So often we're told it can't be done. But what do you say? So often you're told you can't be a disciple. You can't travel that far to church. You can't speak to strangers. I remember studying the Bible with a guy. He went to the elders of his church because he was challenged about discipleship. You know what they told him? The elders of his church told him, you can't go into a store and walk up to a stranger and start telling them about church and God. That's proselytizing. You know what he said to his elder? Well, how do we do it? Well, we find out all the new people that have moved into the neighborhood, and we send out mailers.
Yep. Nice.
Yeah.
Let's go, FedEx. Come on.
Listen, let's read on.
Come on.
Verse 9, Jethro was delighted to hear all about the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, praise be to the Lord, who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Guys, who's our faith in?
God.
It's got to be in God.
That's right.
God has rescued you every time.
Yep.
And He will rescue you again and again. Verse 11. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods. Do we?
Oh yeah,
that's right.
For He did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God, and Aaron came with the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute," which is pretty often, isn't it? "it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws. Moses' father-in-law replied, what you're doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. That's how it is when only the preacher's doing all the work.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of needs with the people.
Yep.
The work is too heavy for you. You can't handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. I love that. All right, dude. You're not doing well. This is a mess. Let me give you some input, and hey, God be with you. Amen. You must be the people's representative for God. That's right. That's good. And bring their disputes to Him. Teach them the decrees and laws and show them the way to live and the duties they're to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for all the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you, the simple ones they can decide for themselves. That will make your load lighter because they'll share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you'll be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied. Is that an awesome text or what? Here is a blueprint. If you're going to build a church and you want the church to grow, you don't just go to people and ask how to do it. You go to the Bible and ask how to do it. And the Old Testament is the text that the first century church had. They didn't have the New Testament. They had the Old Testament. So here, what do we see? Jethro's advice to Moses is they got to share the work. But again, I put before you, who does the work of the church?
Everyone.
The church.
Yeah.
But you'll never do it unless you have the faith in God to do it. We have got to turn to God. I dare say, to the level of anxiety we feel, is the lack of our turning to God. Roger laid it out in communion today. God says, cast all your anxieties on me because I care for you. How sad is it when people are going through so much trouble and they have no God to cast their anxieties on? Because they don't believe that our God is that big and that He can take care of us. And I want to challenge the leaders here.
Come on.
All those here that claim to be leaders, it starts with us. The church will never grow beyond the spirituality of its leadership. This challenges me every day. I know that my relationship with God will be mirrored throughout the church. Your leaders, Bible talk leaders, your level of relationship with God will be mirrored throughout the people in your Bible talks. It starts with us. We've got to be men and women who have faith in our God.
Amen.
And faith in God doesn't just mean it's all going to turn out good. I know it because God is good. How many people you meet like that? That's not faith. That's a little pixie dust from a little fairy and a good hope.
Exactly.
Faith in God is what His Word says.
Right.
That this is right. That He knows me. That He knows how to fix us. He knows you.
Amen.
He knows what you need. But we got to turn to God. So later this month, on the 25th, Friday night, we decided to have a congregational all-night prayer.
Yeah.
It's in the back of the bulletin. It's going to be open to everybody, men and women, co-ed, everybody. We're going to come together, pray for a while, have some fellowship, some munchies, and then pray some more.
Come on.
We're going to make sure that we are getting back to our relationship with God. You know, it's God that's done it. So far, the church here in the first 10 months has grown by 65%. Now, I'm praying before the end of this year we double.
Amen.
That's my prayer.
Amen.
There's a lot more people that need to know. But even if we just go based on the way we've been growing, with all the trouble we've had, by the end of this first year, we'll have grown by 85% and have 53 in the church. Now,
come on.
If you just calculate that out, if we just grow as we have been growing, that means we'll be over 1,000 in 6 years. right at 4,000 after 8 years. And after 10 years, over 13,000 disciples.
Come on, come on. Man. Come on.
That's only at the rate we've been growing.
Come on.
See, as you multiply, you're supposed to grow faster. As disciples, make disciples. But see, that's not about do we have faith in people. That's do we have faith in God.
God.
Do we have faith in God's Word?
That's right.
God's Word changed you. Who can it not change?
Right.
And it is not about us impressing anybody
right.
with our lives.
That's right,
and how cool we are.
That's right.
It's about God's Word.
Amen.
Number two.
Come on, bro.
Faith in yourself. You see, I believe for most of us, we are very insecure and see ourselves as inadequate. How about you? Do you see yourself as inadequate for the task?
Yep.
How can I evangelize the world? Well, you don't have to. God will. You just have to do your part.
Nice. There we go.
But we feel inadequate. We feel like I'm not competent to do what God has asked me to do. I'm not competent to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. I'm not competent to win the kids at my high school. I'm not competent to win the kids at my college. I'm not competent to win my mother and father and my family.
Wow.
I'm not competent to win my... Isn't that what we say?
Yeah.
Who am I? And we have all these insecurities. Moses was a perfect example. When God called him to lead the people out of Egypt, what did he say? That's about what he said. Send my brother Aaron. He didn't see himself as competent to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Maybe you wouldn't have either. But God chose him. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we're confident in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our confidence comes from God.
Amen.
He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. That's what our Bible says.
Yep.
We're not competent. But with God, God makes us competent. Guys, I have confidence in you. And I want you to know that. I have absolute confidence in every member of the Chicago International Christian Church. There's not one member of our church, not one, that if someone truly wants to know God, and they're humble, that you can't teach them.
Amen.
Not one. Problem is, people aren't humble, and they don't want to learn.
Yep.
But what we know is enough. And I'm confident any one of you could sit down with someone really open and fumble through the Bible if need be and find what they need to know to become a true Christian. As a man thinketh, so he is. It's so true, guys. Do you believe in yourself?
Come on, come on.
Because if you don't think you can win your neighbor to Christ, you won't. If you don't think you can win your family to Christ, you won't. And you won't go about what it takes to actually win them.
Yep.
You'll just be afraid, not step on eggshells around them. But if you believe they can make it, you will get out the sword and you will start cutting in the heart. And start loving up and cleaning up the blood. And you will bring them to Christ.
Amen.
If you don't believe you can lead a powerful Bible talk on your college, you won't.
Wow.
If you don't believe we can win this city, we won't. As a man thinketh, so he is.
Come on, bro.
You gotta have faith in yourself.
Come on, bro.
Amen.
And the faith isn't in our power. It's in the power of Jesus Christ working through us. You know, I think of Christina. So proud of Christina Walsh. You know, we moved here. We had three campus sisters when we moved. One went back to Syracuse to finish school. Now, her and Lauren are both coming back the end of this month to finish up school next 2 years, Chicago Art Institute. Amen?
Amen.
So they're coming back. But when Renee left, and we had one other sister that fell away from God and turned to idols, Christina was left. Christina. And I think she'll admit she wasn't doing too hot some of the time herself. She went through a real hard time from this one sister on campus. When Renee and Lauren make it back with our new sister Robin having been baptized last week, there are now nine sisters on campus.
Amen.
From one. That's the power of God. And He worked powerfully through Christina. Let me tell you, she's been so instrumental in so many of these girls becoming Christian.
Yeah.
Even recently, her roommate Tiffany got baptized. And just the other day, Joe and Tiffany went out in the city and they did a poll. They did a survey. Now, if you go to our website today, there's a little thing called Yap Sheep. It's just a few minutes long. It's a podcast. And it's this week, it's Joe and Tiffany going throughout the city of Chicago asking one question. Do you believe Jesus was God and that through Jesus, the only way to be saved? One question. They asked 30 people. Three said yes. Seven said uh-uh. And the other 20 either snubbed them or there was a language barrier. So, three people believe that to be true. Do we need to evangelize the world?
Come on.
You betcha. But you got to listen to it because Joe said our young sister Tiffany had some incredible answers to give these people. And at the end, Joe said, so Tiffany, what did you learn? It's all right there on Yap Sheep. And you can even download the survey if you want to take it and you want to go out and you want to start asking people that question. Amen?
Yes.
But that's God working through Tiffany, working through Joe. We've got to believe in ourselves. Thirdly, we've got to instill faith in our families.
Come on. Yep.
This is crucial, guys. You know, and so many people say that the cost of evangelizing the world is losing your very family. That's what the lies are. That's the criticism. Because if you run around trying to help other people, go and try to help strangers, you ignore your own wife, your own kids. That's not what we're trying to do.
That's right.
In fact, men, husbands, fathers, it is up to us before God to disciple our wives and children to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I challenge the men in this church. That is our role before God, to love and lead our wives and our children. Wives, it's your role before God to submit to your husbands as they strive to do that and to work together to lead your children to Christ.
Amen.
So many people, we fumble around. We want our families to be saved, but we're afraid, so we really don't end up doing anything to help it happen. We got to repent of our fear. We got to be willing to get the word out and to struggle through and to fight through. But we've got to instill faith in our families. You know, in the church, we grew out of what was known as the campus ministry movement. And you know, it's going to be fun to hear Kip talk about a lot of this when he comes to town. But there was a movement on college campuses where the campus students were making disciples who made disciples. But then they would go on Sunday to churches where the adults didn't have the same standard.
Right.
Now, if the parents didn't have the standard, how do you think the teens were doing?
Right.
Even with fired up college kids, no go. Starts in the family. Where our desire to build a movement of churches comes from is not just to make campus students disciples, but to call teens, college, singles, married, single parents, and senior citizens.
Come on.
To the total commitment that Jesus called for.
Come on, bro.
When you have that, man, then those college students won't come in and have their fire extinguished by the mature Christians in the church.
Come on. Come on, bro.
So we've got to have faith in our whole family.
Come on.
That means we've all got to move in that same direction. Now, it means different things for different stages of life. When you have wife, when you have kids, it changes the dynamic. We've got to make sure we're trying to disciple them to Christ and having faith in our families. You know, singing is a good example. If you look at the kids and the kids aren't singing, well, look up at the parents and see if their mouths are moving.
There you go. Yeah.
Parents, we've got to instill faith in our families. You know, today is a very special day because Maria has returned from Texas with her two little children.
Come on.
Amen.
And we have been waiting and waiting to meet them. Maria was just baptized 3 months ago. And you know, it is so tough because her two little children have been in Texas with her family, and she was here in Chicago. As soon as she made the decision to be a true disciple, to be a Christian, her priorities changed.
Amen.
Everything changed. Yes, she made Jesus Lord of her life. She started reaching out and sharing her faith. And there are people even here today that she invited and brought to church.
Come on.
But that doesn't mean she left her girls in the dust.
Right.
In fact, she repented and said, send the girls to me. Part of it is now she's surrounded by such an awesome family here in the church. She has vision and faith that we can help her and she can raise them. But the biggest reason is she wants them to grow up and learn that Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
So, make sure you get to there. So precious. And I so enjoyed meeting them right before church today. But now Maria's children are here and a part of our family. Now, they're quite literally a part of the Shellbrack family. Because Maria and her kids are going to be living with the Shellbracks. So, I was looking at asking Tracy and her sisters, how are your little sisters doing? Now it's Jay and six women. Seven? Seven! Woo! So, my fourth point is we got to have faith in Jay. Amen. You know, guys, there were a couple little boys. There were a couple little boys, and they were acting up in church. They weren't being what they needed to be in church, and they were acting up during the service. And so the mom and dad went to the preacher, and they said, you know what, our kids just aren't acting right in church. And we need your help, preacher. We need to bring them into your office. We want you to put the fear of God in them. So they act right. So little Michael and little Stephen were brought into the office, and Michael was a little older, so he sat outside, and Stephen went on into the preacher's office. But Michael could hear what was going on inside. The preacher looked right at Stephen and said, Stephen, where is God? Stephen didn't answer. The preacher said, Stephen, where is God? He started scared. Third time, the preacher said, Stephen, where is God? Stephen ran out of the room. Michael said, what's going on? Stephen said, I don't know. Best I can figure it, God's missing. And they think we got him. Brothers and sisters, in our world today, God is missing. And we got him. And it's up to us to evangelize this world. To God be the glory. Amen.